Are you ready to cultivate confident, resilient, and mentally strong dancers? Introducing Lauren Ritchie's Mental Skills Masterclasses, designed to build dancers from the inside out. Join them live and online for a transformative journey where each month, dancers will dive deep into a different mental skill, including confidence, growth mindset, motivation, resilience, and stress regulation. In these engaging one-hour sessions, you will learn, reflect, and practice personalized mental skills, exercises, and techniques that you can immediately apply to your training, performances, and everyday life. This program is perfect for dancers age 12 and above who are committed to growth, curiosity, and community. Dancers can log on individually or as dance teams. And don't worry if the live classes don't align with your schedule, as sessions will be recorded and available online for viewing at your convenience. Visit www.withlauren.ca or follow the link below for more details and grab your information package today. Hello and welcome to The Background Dancer. I'm your host, Jason Yup. Thank you for joining me with our community of passionate dance contributors from around the world and across different fields. In this weekly podcast, I offer educational conversations and insightful tips to help you better understand all things offstage about this curious art form. Hello everyone and welcome to another solo edition of The Background Dancer. It's good to be back. I hope you've had a great week and an entirely great month, and I hope that you've enjoyed the last three episodes regarding art media featuring my favorite M's at the moment, Melinda Gaskin and Megan Castro. Now this is episode 12, which is also the final installment to April's Art Media Discussions, as well as you know, for season 1. So I can't wait to get back next season, really delving deeper into Art Media Discussions, and also hopefully expanding on what we have already explored. So for this very episode, we are going to talk about why media is so important for the arts, right? But more specifically, my question revolving around, is running a podcast necessary? As you already know, this has to do with my experiences of podcasting itself and why I decided to do so. So yes, why is podcasting important for dance? In the first segment, I will be introducing some fundamental reasons to podcast, both as a listener, but also as a creator. And in the following half, I'll be talking about podcasting as a powerful tool to further the arts and, of course, dance. And at the very end, I will be recommending some of my favorite dance podcasts, the shows that I usually listen to on my morning commute to work. But I also have some really interesting news, some exciting new developments for the podcast. So definitely stick around. We have a lot to cover in this episode. So let's get started with the fundamental question of what exactly is a podcast? Without going too deep into the history of it, let's just start with what exactly is this medium? A podcast is basically internet radio, right? It's content specific, it's a digitally audio rendered file that allows listeners to access targeted information much more easily, much more abundantly. In other words, it's an alternative media that helps us create personally curated experiences that you either enjoy or really depend on for information, things that you can actually learn from. Now, whilst podcasts have not entirely eliminated radio or mainstream media itself, it has emerged as one of the fastest growing forms of media. So, interesting fact here, as of 2021, iTunes announced that there are 2 million shows on its Apple Podcast directory. big companies such as Google, Amazon, have all entered into the space to tap the wide variety of audiences in the podcasting space. And there is a huge reason for that. There is a fundamental reason as to why podcasting has become so popular, but also has grown so exponentially over the last, let's say, 5 to 10 years. Podcasting can be a very powerful communicative tool also for the arts from both the listener as well as creator's perspective. Now, I won't talk too much about why you should listen to a podcast, because if you're already listening to this, you probably have your own specific, unique reasons as to why you do listen to this podcast, firstly, but also other shows that might have interested you. And yes, for example, it helps you identify with a community. It's flexible. You can listen to it almost anywhere, anytime, anyhow. But if I were to bring up one reason, and this is probably my favorite reason, is that it allows us to diversify our sources of information, right? And I always talk about this. It's really about democratizing the consumption of information for us, and that really helps us to avoid the biases of mainstream media. Now, there's nothing really awfully wrong with massive networks, except for the fact that they're often affiliated with all kinds of political and financial allegiances, and that creates kind of bigotry, that creates a lack of transparency sometimes, and it's really important for us to be objectively looking for that, the truth, or at least objective truth. And it's always good to be able to look for different sources and seek second opinion. So that's what podcasts can do, because there are definitely at least 2 or 3 different shows on any given topic at all. But for this segment, I will be talking mostly from the creator's perspective. And hopefully this can also be enticing for you if you are a listener and haven't taken that step forward as to why maybe podcasting could be good for you as well. You know, I've done this for about 2 months now, and yes, it's really seeping into me, and I hope that I can also inspire you to do the very same thing. So let's get started. The first reason why you should podcast is because podcasting is the new age blogging. So while there is and can be a lot of crap on the net right now, we all know this, podcasting is a means to finding unique expertise and likewise allows experts themselves to communicate or express their knowledge. You know this old age joke about bloggers? Yeah, like people who are nothing more than just lonely, pathetic nerds typing away in their mom's basement to an empty audience, let's say. It's quite similar actually, because literally when I'm recording episodes, I'm just sort of looking at my laptop or speaking to a wall. And sometimes it can get quite challenging in that sense that you don't really know who, you know, who's listening to this or who's on the other side, but it does provide me this creative outlet, right? It's a platform for me to voice my concerns or my ideas. And the next step, of course, is to find that target audience, but it does always start from, do you have a voice and how can you express that? And this brings me to my second point, and I already mentioned it when I record stuff. I'll be thinking about who's on the other side. Podcasting is a really good way to create an intimate connection with your audience. So just this week, my best friend Kimberly back in Malaysia was telling me that, hey, because I was listening to your podcast, it almost feels like I'm right next to you. And that's so touching, because I haven't seen her in such a long time ever since I left my home. And my voice transcends all these distances, and for her, it felt like incredibly intimate. And that means a lot, right? Because honestly, I am speaking to an empty wall, but not really, actually. So the point is, everyone on the other end has literally sifted through numerous obstacles to dedicate a portion of their attention to you. And I really understand that. That for me is incredibly important. The stats may either flatter someone with a lot of downloads per episode or discourage someone who has very little listens per episode. But all we need, honestly, is one person to make that difference. One person who has listened to a show, your show, an episode, and goes, oh my gosh, I'm going to get up right now and I'm going to do good for the world. And it's very similar to how teachers maybe have 50 students in their class and all they need is just one difference maker. One of my favorite podcasts is right now, Pat Flynn of the Smart Passive Income always talks about the super fans. All you need is 100 engaged, loyal listeners who are there for you, who are supporting you all the way through. You don't need a million people. Podcasting may be niche, may be small, but it does allow you to establish that long-term, really special relationship with your listeners. And this brings me, of course, to my third point. When you hear of a podcast, maybe it sounds great. Maybe we talk about sponsorships and ads and all these things, but do not let that take away from the fact that it's actually not that hard to do. It's not easy, but it really isn't that hard. Now, imposter syndrome is a powerful thing, but it's often a dangerously powerful thing. It stops us from taking those first steps. And it was a little bit like that for me too when I was ruminating, taking several months to really decide that this is the best way to go forward with my voice. I had a lot of help from YouTube, tons of blogs to get started. And right now, there's even this app called Anchor.fm. And I think that's a real game changer because basically it allows you to podcast from literally anywhere on your phone. Think about that. You don't need to set up your computer, be in a studio, on a mic, whatsoever. It allows you to really democratize the possibility of someone podcasting. So, yes, incredible advancements in technology and also the way that we want more people to join the space, to join this community. So, in conclusion, podcasting is affordable. You just need to be creative and smart about your environment. It is scalable. Depending on how much you want to do it and how high quality you want to produce your work. And most importantly, it is portable. So someone like me who's always traveling around and not really sure when my next destination is going to be, I need everything to be portable. And podcasting actually allows me to do that. So it's really great. So these are some of the fundamental reasons as to why we should podcast. Hopefully, I can also inspire you to pick up a mic or pick up your phone to do similar things. So let's take a short break, and when we come back, I would like to speak to you about how podcasting is specifically important for our dance industry. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back. For this week's special shout-out, we hear from Ahmad Khamis, who is a dear friend of mine based in Singapore. He is an educator and theatre practitioner. He said, "Thank you for this. I was listening to it earlier at the gym. You're such a fascinating thinker. I really enjoy listening to your journey. And of course, when you're free, I'd love to have a chat about it." Thank you so much, Ahmad. And yes, he is an incredible thinker himself. And when we have the time, we'll definitely catch up more over a chat. Thank you so much for contributing, Ahmad. And always looking forward to our next conversation. Thank you so much for all of you listening. And that's it for this week's special shout out. Hey, Jason here with a special message for you to help and continue serving our beloved performing arts community. So here's what you can do. Share this with one person you believe with this episode can benefit and attach a personal note explaining why. This way, you are not only helping me grow this show, but also adding value to those you truly care about. Massive appreciation, as it means the world to me. And let's get right back to the show. So when I first started thinking about this idea to podcast, for me, the hardest question was, what should I talk about? That certain topic needs to be relevant, right? And of course, dance has been at the forefront of my life, but I never really thought of it as a medium for the arts, you know, to podcast, until there was a confluence of ideas, and I realized that podcasting is so essential for dance. Now, what I've realized is that there aren't that many shows targeted for the Asian audience. There are many shows already existing for the American market and the European market, of course, but not so much for the Asian market or the Southeast Asian region to that respect. And I believe that my show is very much geared towards what's happening in the Southeast Asian region, because honestly, those are the people that I'm really concerned about, because I do come from that community. So I decided in the end to create a podcast and to really serve you, this community, wherever you are, whoever you are. So I have 5 points here. They are really just my individual opinions and how I approach my podcast and how then I purpose that for our industry. First and foremost, not all dancers just dance. And this is not an indictment on exquisite movers, because I have met many and I'm so admirable of their talents. This is more of an endorsement for dance artists like me who might find more expressivity through oration rather than movement. And movement is essential, but there are artists like me who are also able to express equally better, if not even more, with oration, with words, and with speech. So in terms of performance and a performer, we've seen, of course, theatre-incorporated dance works with text or voiceovers, right? And on the opposite spectrum, if you think about it, they are very much maybe more broadcast-oriented speakers who are a little bit more suitable doing broadcast work, let's say, maybe working for a radio station, and podcasting. So podcasts and dance, to me, are just a version of a tool. And the rest of it is what that compels. So your personality, your content, maybe even the sound of your voice, let's say, those are the things that will carry through the weight and the impact of what you're trying to convey. And this leads me to my second point, because podcasting, to me, essentially is an extension of the dance experience. Not everyone gets to access dance in a theatre or even undergo a dance education, be it in a university, conservatory, or even just a normal dance class in a studio, right? So how can the industry as a whole extend the experience or the remnants of a performance or dance class? When it's over, when a production is signed, sealed, delivered, is that the end of an experience? Maybe meeting after a show is a wonderful and most effective means to continue that experience. And in place of maybe even performances, this course can be a viable option even for outreach or community engagement programs, right? So likewise, we can also extend that dance experience by engaging in the listener's experience about it through feedback, through research, and ultimately, podcasting may sound like it's about delivering content, but it is all about the listener experience. Trust me on this. Thirdly, podcasting is also an artistic endeavor. One of my strongest supporters was my brother, Desmond, himself, and he said at the start, after listening to a couple of my episodes, he said, "Hey, wonderful job trying to repurpose a highly visual art form into something textual or even sonic." And purists might slay me on this, but I really think that dance should be legible to anyone and everyone. My guest on a previous episode, Bilki Sijas, often says that when she does art reviewing, it's not really to tell the artist what to do or what they have not done well. It is merely to provide a second opinion, to extend the perspectives of the audience. The best ability, as you've heard, is availability. Let's make it available. Let's make it accessible for everyone. And I think through a podcast, you can do so, even if it doesn't mean a performative way. This brings me to my next point. Podcasting is an immense network. Now, one may not connect through dance, but instead through the slew of networks formed through podcasting endeavors. So just to give you an example, ever since I've started podcasting, my knowledge regarding audio engineering, marketing, graphic designing, speech articulation, all these different types of skills that I had to also learn because of one thing, podcasting itself. It's not just about speaking to a mic, yes, but you know, if I do want to achieve a higher level of this, all these other tools are necessary. They are auxiliary tools, but they are necessary. Dance, as much as I love it, there is a harsh reality that it can be quite territorial and as a result, toxic. What this does is that it eliminates collaborative opportunities in the process. And that's not really nice because if you take the analogy of like parents getting divorced and stuff, it's always the children who suffer, right? So when institutions and organizations with both clout and influence in the dance industry do not come together hand in hand to push the art forward, it's always the audience who suffer. So I've met a bunch of different dance podcasters, and they're also artists like me, dancers, whom I've never been able to do so merely just through the dance network. Instead, I've been able to do so through the podcasting network. So that is quite evident already. Last but not least is that we could always use a few more industry leaders. When you're sharing helpful information on a specific topic on a consistent basis, this really helps position you as an authority in your industry. Now, hosting a podcast has a similar effect as maybe running a blog or writing a book. It helps develop your reputation as an expert. Do I want to be an industry leader? Definitely. How am I going to do so? I'm not quite sure yet, but podcasting will be at the forefront of that list. Now, it's such a huge world, even in dance itself. Thus, we could use a few more experts across a variety of niches. You know, ever since starting the podcast as well, you know, it has helped me be in a position to explore and to further pin down all these different points of interest and to really get into the nitty-gritty of what goes on beyond the stage, right? But there are not many industry leaders in all these different sectors, all these different niches who are also stepping up and saying, hey, we are here, we exist, and we want to collaborate, we want to come together. Those are the 5 points of why I think podcasting can be so super important for the dance industry. Once again, just to recap, not all dancers just dance. It is an extension of the dance experience. Podcasting is a vehicle for the arts. Podcasting is an immense network. And last but not least, we can really use a few more industry leaders, especially for dance. I will now introduce to you my favorite shows, my go-tos for dance, and I have 5. We start with Dance Edit, the Dance Edit podcast produced by the Dance Spirit magazine, and this is wonderful because it's a news portal for all things dance, and most of it, of course, centers around the USA, but go check them out. They do a wonderful job. And they do it on a weekly basis too, which is really, really great. The next one is called Dance Rants, the Dance Rants podcast by Dylan Holly and Hayden Idris, based in Netherlands. And yeah, just like the name itself, they raised a lot of controversial issues regarding the industry. They're not necessarily ranting, but they are having constructive discussions about what can be done better in the industry. My third one is The Dance Boss podcast by Erin Pride. And this is a very recent discovery. And she focuses a lot on building your own business as a dancer. And yes, she will also be featuring on my podcast soon. So can't wait for that one. Fourth on the list is the NEC Dance with Kathy Levy, the National Art Center in Canada. It is a platform that interviews all of the incoming dance artists who have gone to the NEC to perform. So notable names are Crystal Pite, Akram Khan, I think, Akash Rodedra, Michelle Dorans. Kathy has done a great job with them, so definitely give them a listen to. Last but not least is the Point to Rise podcast by Suzanne Pershall. And this is the podcast about mental well-being in dance. She's an ex-ballerina who's concerned now and absolutely dedicated to providing the best possible coaching for young dancers growing up especially ballerinas and those who are entrenched in that kind of upbringing, that kind of dance environment. So definitely give her a listen to. And yeah, you can just sort of mix and match as well, depending on what you are up for in that particular day. So those are my favorite shows. And before I go today, like I said at the very start, some really interesting developments regarding the podcast that I would like to share with you. Now, next month is May, and I'll be focusing on wellness, mental health, and different sort of medical professions in the dance industry. And speaking of podcasting, my podcast will be featuring on Google Podcasts starting next month. So that's wonderful. It's a really nice tool. It really helps with the search engine optimization. Well, it really definitely helps you, expand your search of different shows, let's say. Don't forget to rate and review. It really helps with the algorithms, really helps with my podcast also being discoverable for other people. So if you like this, click the link below at ratethispodcast.com/background. It leads you and it will guide you through all the different steps. So that's very much it for this episode. It has been a really, really nice one for me because, yes, it is about podcasting. And, you know, I've been doing this for almost 2 months now and it's been quite good. I'm enjoying it, but only with your help, only with your feedback, only with your support. Thank you so much all the time. I have to say this, really grateful for everything so far. And I hope to continue on as strongly as always. Have a great week, have a wonderful month ahead as well, and hopefully see you in the next one. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode. Be sure to subscribe, comment, and leave a review on your designated podcast and social media platforms. If you found this interesting or helpful, feel free to share with members of your community so that they too may connect with us in our quest to foreground dance in the background. I'm Jason Yup of The Background Dancer, and as always, catch you next time. Calling all dance educators and leaders, whether it's through a professional development weekend, day, or workshop, Lauren Ritchie is passionate about connecting with fellow educators who are in the trenches, pouring their hearts into their work with unwavering dedication. From navigating stress and perfectionism to fostering confidence and resilience in dancers, Lauren provides invaluable guidance on supporting students through every step of their journey. Because, let's face it, our work changes lives and it's most impactful when teachers embrace, communicate and practice mental skills themselves. Join her online teacher workshops and education sessions, where you explore topics like understanding the brain stages of your students, enhancing motivation, effective feedback strategies, preparing for competition, and fostering team cohesion. Ready to transform your teaching approach and empower your students like never before? Reach out today to learn more at www.withlauren.ca/teacher-workshops or click the link in the show notes below.